Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, I invite you to take your seats if you can. And on your way down, just give the Lord a hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's hard to move when the presence of the Lord is flowing like that. Living Worship, I love you guys. You guys, whoo. Yeah, can we bless the Lord for them? All of you. Yeah. Yeah, let them stay there. Yeah. If you're still there in 30 minutes, we might join them. I love Jesus. Anybody love Jesus? Like, simply that. I love Jesus. Boldly, apparently. I love Jesus. Woo! Are you guys excited? Yes. Some of you are like, no, I'm still in the presence. I understand. But the rest of us, we're excited. Oh, we got to move somehow. Somehow. Yeah, everybody take a breath. Songwriter said, it's your breath in my lungs. We're not going to sing it because we won't leave here tonight. Tonight's not worship night. Tonight, we're here for the word of God. Amen. This is what happens when you put a worship leader on the mic. They don't want to stop. Oh, glory. Come on. Come on. All right. Whew. Could everybody shake it off with me? Come on. Shake it. Shake it. We're going to get there somehow. Can you guys turn the lights on? I want to see the beautiful smiles and faces in the house. Oh, Jesus, you are worthy. He is worthy. I really got to move. Pastor, we've come a long way. Pastor, we've come a long way. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. Start with Jesus. Yeah. 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 I think, media team, I'm going to give you homework. I couldn't find a good title for this, so I'm going to let you guys be creative. So for those of you that like titles, I'm sorry. Forgive me now. And then forgive me when we're here till 10 o'clock. Amen. God bless you. But I have a scripture. Matthew chapter. It's spring break, right? Uh-huh. No excuses. Oh, it's not spring break? Next week? Man, y'all don't go to bed before 10 anyway. Don't talk to me. Matthew chapter 19. Oh, expanding in Christ. Okay, you took my default title. Amen. Let's say expanding in Christ. Expanding in Christ. I heard this is the year of our expansion, right? Yes. This is the year of expansion, right? Divine expansion. Oh. I'm not going to make it through this thing. Divine expansion. Well, I wanted to try and... It's hard to follow the Lord and follow the move of the house. So, I couldn't, but I believe this word of God, from the Lord is right for somebody in the house. Amen? Yeah. But you're going to need to listen to the Spirit, because if you listen to the flesh, you'll be mad. You won't like the words. Pastor said, there's correction, there's reproof. I mean, Pastor's a man of the Spirit. He was right on it. I even told my wife, I said, I'm worried about this sermon because... Half of you know me, half of you don't. And the ones that don't, you're never going to like me after this one. But the ones that do, God bless you too. But it's not my words. Amen? Amen? This is for the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys ready to read the word? Yes. You ready? Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came to him. Oh, this here. And said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Excuse me. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, we're being pastor. He doesn't even know. But And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's keep going. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept in my mouth. What do I still lack? Go back. Did I miss it? Hey, when you get to my age, my goodness. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Somebody say, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, come on, everybody. This is not my sermon, but maybe that's somebody's message for the day. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. Verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive how much? 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So the purpose tonight is just to walk with the Spirit and examining what or whom we have to give up or leave to expand the kingdom of heaven. Amen? I'll say that again. Tonight, we're going to just walk with the Spirit. You're not going to hear Tim Jones, Pastor Tim, Captain Tim, Timmy Tim, whatever title you give me. You're just going to walk with the Spirit and see what the Spirit is requiring of you to give up, to leave, so that you can expand the kingdom of heaven. From the youngest to the oldest, something is required of you for expansion. Something is required. There are many of you that I don't know, but the Lord has revealed that there are many of you that the Lord wants to expand in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just saying a Christian jargon. The Lord literally wants to expand you, whether that's relationally, whether that's spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. I believe there's many, hopefully all of you, the Lord wants to take you and give you more. Amen. I believe that. However, the Lord has pressed it upon my heart and my spirit to tell you this. You haven't moved on what God's tell you to do in Scripture. I don't know what that is, but we're going to go through it. We're going to examine it. We're going to examine what that means, how. Because sometimes we might hear, well, I don't see exactly this in the Bible. Well, that's why we have awesome men and women of God here to teach you that what you're doing really falls under this Scripture, under this category. Amen? And hopefully you will obey. Hopefully you'll give it up so that you will see the expansion that God wants for you. That God wants for you. All right? You ready? Yeah. Look at somebody next to you and say, buckle up. Buckle up. This is going to be good. Question, do you know that there's a few things in the Scripture that are like, no kidding, deal breakers? There are things in the Scripture that if you don't do this, it's no good. No bueno, if you will. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew 6 and 15. I love you, media team. But if you do not forgive men and their trespasses, what does it say? Neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. So what does that mean? If you don't forgive somebody, you think you're going to heaven? You can say no. You don't have to. It's not a rhetorical question. The Father will not forgive you if you don't forgive somebody. That's a deal breaker. There's no if, ands, up. Well, I need 3 years. Well, he's working on me. No. If you do not forgive. Come on, let's keep going. Just showing you scripture. Matthew 25, 11 through 13. Afterwards, the other virgins came. I had the honor of preaching this last week. Lord, open up to us. Verse 12. And he answered assuredly, saying, I do not know you. Verse 13. Watch therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour the Son of Man is coming. So Jesus talks about the 10 virgins, and he's pretty much telling people to be ready. Because one day he's going to come, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, your title, your tithe, your songs. He's going to say, I don't know you. You've been a Christian for 40 years, but you weren't ready the day, hour, minute I came. That's it. There are deal breakers. Amen. I'm just showing you. Let's keep going. John chapter 3, verse 3. Oh, Jesus answered and said to him, most surely I say unto you, unless one is born again, or in another verse, it says, unless one is born by water and by spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, there was a man that was on the cross that Jesus allowed, and that's for another time. But there's some people that think that if we just do great things for God, serve, sacrifice, community service, we're good to go. That's not what this scripture says. This scripture says, unless he is, and in some version, born again means baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you can work with a pastor what that means and all the intricacies of that. But unless you know, well, that's the kingdom of God. It's not yours. One more time. 1 John chapter 4 and 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is simple. If you don't love, you think you're going to heaven with God? Good. Some of you are starting to say no. You're understanding me now. We're speaking the same language. And these are just a few. There's many that if you don't do this, you won't be with God. Period. It's the word of God. It's not mean. It's not even correction. That's the word of God. Right? But you want to expand. You want to be in church Fridays. And then fire of God. All that good charismatic stuff. But you don't love. But you don't want to forgive because God's working on you. How? You're praying to who? Calm down. I get excited. I'm sorry. There's things. I know. I get excited. There's things in Scripture. There's doctrine. Pastor, you are right on target as usual. God bless you, sir. Yeah. Can we stop and just honor the man of God? Can we? Oh. See, that would be good if I hadn't been here for 10 plus years. So I'm going to give you a chance. Can you honor the man of God that's... Thank you. Okay, be seated. Now, let's get serious. Okay, Pastor, I love you. Pastor Vincent, I love you guys. You got to just work with me, y'all. Work with me. So the question is, are you doing the things of God that are deal breakers? Because many of us want to expand, divine expansion. Many of us want to walk in the prophecy that the man of God has given us. But yet some of us don't even know the scripture to expand. Some of us, the scripture is Jesus, right? The book of John says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Later it says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what's the word? Good, half of you said it. What's the word? Jesus. But you don't know the word, i.e. you don't know Jesus. We sing, you're my heart, you sing, I love you, but you don't know Jesus. You know a miracle, you know a thing or two he's done for you, maybe you know his friend, but you don't know Jesus. It's a challenge to all of us. It's a challenge to all of us. Because pastor knows, all these pastors, when you have a sermon given to you, you have to sit with it first. And I said, do I know Jesus? I had to go check myself. Am I loving? Am I loving the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I love my neighbor? Do I have other gods before me? So let me rephrase. Some of us, we're trying. We're on a journey. But we don't know Jesus. Meaning, we don't know Scripture. We know songs, hallelujah. We know a couple tongues, praise the Lord. We know the amount of dollar signs to give Living Word. Pastor's happy. I know he is. I am too. However, do you know Exodus? Zephaniah? That's not tongues. That's a book. Do you know Jesus? Because what I learned is that some of the things that God wants to expand you to require spiritual maturity. I'm going to say it again for the ones that are in the front row. Some of the things God wants to expand you to require spiritual maturity. Do you know your maturity has to grow? You can't be the same baby you were when you first said, Jesus is my Savior. I'm talking to you guys. I'm learning this. Can I be transparent, baby? Should I? I'm talking to her. Hold on. Can I be? should I? Let me talk to you guys for a minute. Let me tell you guys something I learned. I've been with Living Word for a long time. Praise God. And I grew. And then I left. Well, the Lord shifted me to somewhere else. And if you don't know, we've had many countless services here. All night services, overnight services, services at other churches, services outside. When COVID happened, I was one of three people here. We've done a lot in the house, right? And then I left. And then there were no overnight services. There were no prayer services. There was no Bible even where I was at. No Bible study. I had to create it. So then the Holy Spirit sat with me and said, you did all that for all those years. And then you get to a place that doesn't have anything. Do you still love him? And I had to sit with that for a second. Because I love my wife, and yes, this is a ministry, but why didn't I have that same urge, drive to find a prayer night? Because there's churches in Kansas that have prayer nights. There's Bible studies, but I was cool with 30 minutes of live stream at my house. I'm trying to be transparent with some of you guys, because some of you guys might understand this. I said I love the being on the floor, rolling, the tears, you're my heart. I did it all. I understood. But then the chance, the one time God takes me away from it all, now it stops. So was my heart posture serious for God then? I'm trying to get you to understand something about spiritual maturity. That when God takes it all away, when God puts you in this quiet place, like Jonah in the belly of a whale, and he hasn't left you, but you are no longer. What's your maturity like then? Are you just content with live stream and worship on your phone? This is why I believe the Lord has brought me here for you. Because I've now uniquely started to expand myself, Pastor. But I went through this season where I had to sit and say, what am I doing? Why am I not in Bible study? I know scripture. I love scripture. Even though I wasn't going to Bible study on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was playing soccer or basketball, blessing people out there. Come on, let's go to scripture. John chapter 5, verse 39. Pastor, you're right on target. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these very scriptures that testify about who? They testify about me, about Jesus. Do you know Jesus if you struggle with the Old Testament that testifies about Jesus? With the New Testament that testifies about Jesus? Okay, so let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Because maybe many of us are like the rich young ruler, because I saw myself in this. We're going to go back to it. Verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. So Jesus, what do I have to do? I want to be before your presence. You're all I long for. What do I need to do? Right? Maybe many of you ask, all right, Jesus, what do I need to receive the divine expansion? What do I need to do to receive salvation? Verse 17. What does Jesus say? Follow the commandments if you want to have eternal life. You want to expand? Prayer is great. You want to extend prophesying. Hearing the word of the Lord is great. Music is powerful. But Jesus says this, simple. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. It's not even a point, but I hope we know the commandments of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. If we look at the law, if we look at the commandments, are we simply loving the Lord God with our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Are we forgiving everybody? Are there any idols that we might have placed before God intentionally or unintentionally? Because the Bible says, you shall have no other gods before me. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish, well, I'm living for my family, but my Lord is my number one in my little diagram of my chart of the things that I value the most. But I give so much time to my kids, I give so much time to my job, and I give the Lord at least 5 minutes a day. Is the Lord really the Lord, your treasure, the one you want expansion from? Or do we just say that because we go to church every day? Bless us, Jesus. Bless us, Jesus. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? Come on. Verse 20. So, oh Lord, I've done these things. I've kept it from my youth. What do I still lack? I hear you, Pastor Tim. Yeah, I do keep the commandments. I do read scripture. I do go to church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So what else do I need to do to see the expansion? Let's look. Verse 21. If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, that you will have treasure in heaven to follow me. This is what I hear him saying. Give up the thing you love the most and follow me. Give up the thing you love the most. Matthew 6:24. You guys have it? I think you had it earlier. I love this. Jesus says this later. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one or love the other one, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve. To me, it's bigger than just God and money. You can't have anything before God. Period. Not even family. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Because we love family, but we get confused sometimes. Maybe we get confused with our schoolwork. Maybe we get confused with the things that we want more than anything in the world. But God said, if you put me first. No, not if. Put me first. It's not an option. It's a command. If my people will call on my name, that's a choice. This is a command. You either serve me or you don't. Period. Again, another deal breaker. Let's go back. Let's go back. Verse 21. Give up the thing you love the most. Possessions, people, maybe. Maybe something you love the most. Maybe it's your gifts. Maybe it's the career. Maybe it's a title. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's the feeling that you have to be in control. Maybe it's the thought that you have to know what's going to happen next. Because sometimes it's not possessions or people that matter most to us. It's knowing the next thing that's going to happen. Because some of us don't like to just walk by faith and not by sight. If we're being honest. Good, four of us got that. If we're being honest, some of us would like to know the weather for tomorrow, huh? Some of us want to know how to cook food and know the seasoning. You want to, you don't want to do it by nature, by faith. You want to know that in 15 minutes, you know, to flip the chicken and then come back. You don't. God's saying, give it up to me. You don't need to know. You don't know when Jesus is coming. Why do you need to know what's going to happen tomorrow? Give it to me. You think the thing you love the most is your mom and your brother, your sister, your wife. No, the thing you love most is control. Because you don't want to deal with fear. That wasn't in my notes. That was for somebody. I hope you take that. The thing you think you love the most, you think it's family. It's not family. It's not money. You think you want control. Let it go. Thank you. Because the Lord wants you to expand. 4 years ago, I couldn't have told you I'd be living in Kansas with a beautiful wife and a beautiful son. I tried to control it. I tried to stay here as long as I possibly could. I promise you. I knew it was coming, but I didn't willingly just leave Living Word. Jesus had to send a literal assignment to say it's time to go. And the wife and the child. I promise you. I had to let it go. And then I got there and I still couldn't expand. Because I was still trying to control my life, my wife, my kids, my job. And I was in this box. Oh, I limited myself. Let me tell you something. See, there are people where I'm at that are hungry. They don't really know the word. And so I would preach Jesus and they would get excited. I might heal somebody and they might get excited. But the Lord wanted me to do so much more. But I was comfortable. I'm being real with you. I was comfortable. I didn't expand because I thought, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord and this is good enough. The Lord said, this is good enough. We're going to see it later. The Lord said, I want to give you 100-fold, but you think you're good with good enough? You dishonor me because you're comfortable. Woo! But you love me? I'm trying to tell you guys something that happened to me in real life. You say you love him, but you dishonor him because you're like comfort. I don't know if I have time to go to that scripture. We just read over 2 Timothy. We don't have time to go at all. I hope you heard the pastor's charge. We preached this together. Hallelujah. The Spirit is one. Amen. You like comfort. You want to be lovers of yourself. But the Lord is trying to say, I want to push you. There's a business. There's land. There's a house. There's a child. There's homework. There's an assignment. There's a scholarship. But you need to release it. There's a spouse. But you have your mind set on this one type of person. No, I got to go. I got to go. Clock says 4 minutes. I got to go. Jesus, come on. Give up what you treasure the most and make your treasure Jesus, because in him your treasure will be expanded in heaven. Because the Bible said, in me there's life and life more abundant. You know what that word abundant means? Abundant doesn't mean just Verse 27, come on. I'm used to being here all night. I don't want to do that to you guys. So let me take you guys and do this home. Bless the Lord Jesus. Come on, verse 27. Hallelujah. Pastor said, just keep going. All right, you heard the man of God. We're going to go verse 22. Let's just dissect it all. But when the one man heard this, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He had great wealth. He was sad. Verse 23. We'll go all the way to 27. Then he said, assuredly I say to you that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me go back. Let me tell you Pastor Tim's interpretation. Sometimes it's hard for even a Christian to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he has great possessions. Sometimes he has great pride. He has great knowledge. We all know scriptures. Many of us, we've done this for a long time. But then when we see scriptures that say, if you don't forgive, if you don't love, if you don't get baptized. Yeah. Delete. Does not compute. It's true, right? I love Living Word. We do this together. Amen. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciple heard this, like many of you, okay, well, if we can't do it, who can do it? How is this possible? What's the next verse? I love this. With men, this is impossible. Say it again. But with God. But with God, it's possible to expand. But with God, it's possible to walk by faith and not by sight. But with God, it's possible to deal with the illnesses, to deal with the temptations, to deal with the distractions. But with God, all things are possible. Oh, some of you are going to see God new this year like you never have in the name of Jesus. I'm talking to everybody in the house. Some of you, no, I pray in the name of Jesus. Every one of you has a brand new touch from God like you never have in the name of Jesus. That the impossible to you becomes the possible, becomes your reality, becomes your anthem in the name of Jesus. This is going to be a powerful year. Listen, we've done so many themes this year. From when I was there in year one to, I don't know, I've lost track of the years now. And God, Pastor, has been blessed with so many things. But this year is going to be special. Especial, huh? This year, it's what you make it, though. I can give you what the Lord says, but I hope you walk in this. This year, you're going to see something like you never have. Maybe some of you have been waiting 4, 5, 7 years for what's going to happen. Not by my sermon. Listen to me. It's not because I'm preaching this sermon that you're going to experience something special. Because many times people think the pastors are the ones that bless you. I have nothing to do with your blessing. I don't even know what he wants to expand you in. I'm here to tell you, you need to just read the word more. Period. Get serious about your devotion to God. I'm getting excited. Wait, I haven't even stopped. No, I gotta get to the scripture. Pastor, these people are... We have left all to follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? Verse 28. So Jesus said to you, surely I say to you, that it is in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you shall have followed me. You who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. Can we read this together? I wanted to get through this because this is, come on, 1, 2, go. And every... who has left houses or come on. Anybody who has left all these things for my name's sake shall receive double. What did you say, Pastor? If I go to the scripture, say bye-bye, Pastor. They shall receive triple. They shall receive quadruple. You shall be expanded 100-fold if you leave for my mother's sake. Leave my mother, for my friends, my children, my lands, for my name's sake. I didn't even know this would tie into the theme. Jesus said, if you follow me for my name's sake, expansion is yours. In the land of the living, in the name of Jesus. And eternal life. Oh, you're not excited for the scripture. Hallelujah. You're going to get there. This had my spirit boiling. Boiling. I think I've only experienced double at Kansas. And maybe triple when another kid comes. No, just kidding, baby. Woo! But some of you need to understand something. Let me say this. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say this. Many of us, we gloss over for my name's sake. And I hope that you will meditate on that alone. What does it be to follow the Lord for my name's sake? With Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green paths. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me on the path of righteousness. I hope you guys will study what that means. What does it mean to give up everything for the Lord's name's sake? I'm giving you homework. Go meditate on that. What does it mean for his name's sake? Because that's the key to expansion. And we're gonna go here. Pastor, I know you do this all the time, and I'm a student of and a son of pastor. Some of you guys, you need Old Testament because New Testament's not enough, right? They're still that same way. It's been 5 years. They're still the same, right? Let's go to Genesis. I thought by now they wouldn't need Old Testament, but I see some people still need, it's okay. Who loves the word of God? Amen? Are we okay with the word of God? Yeah. Come on, repeat it to me. Father, I will commit to your word. In Jesus' name.
That's a seed you planted. I don't have all night, so I'm going to do this quickly. Abraham, many of you know who Abraham is. He was a man after God's own heart, and God had promised him a child. And God gave him a child at 100 and his wife at 90. And then one day, media team, go to verse 17. I'll get us there. And then one day God says, Abraham, take your child. And if you look at scripture, it says this many times. Take your son, your only son. You know it. Whom you love. Take him and sacrifice him. Yo, give me a burnt offering. Excuse me. Give me a burnt offering. I'll read this verse and then we'll go. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So what happens? Abraham gets his son. He doesn't ask questions. The Bible says he just gets his sons, his servants, and just takes him up. He just obeys. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. He just obeys. You know, many of you, like me, have heard this scripture and you know about the faith journey and everything. But I tell you what, when I first heard this scripture versus when I heard the scripture 2 years ago and I had a son, Pastor, it changes now, right? At first, you know, giving up the thing you love, maybe it was music or sports. Like, oh, Gloria, you want me to stop playing? Okay, whatever, you know. You want me to, my wife? But my son? My only son? Now, many of you, maybe you don't have children, but I want you to really try and relate to the one thing you cannot live with the most that God gave you, that God promised you. Because I knew I was going to have a family. Oh, I knew. Because I knew me and the Lord, we had a conversation. If I was going to go into the military and serve and give my life and do all this stuff, that he would bless me with a family. I knew. Just like Abraham. The Lord, if you trust me, I'll give you a child, even at your age. And he did. And then he turns around and says, offer him up. The one thing, offer him. What does Isaac represent? This is the Lord. I'm not a man. What does Isaac represent? Isaac represents promise. Isaac represents covenant. And you want me to give that up? But. No. Give it up. And he didn't hesitate. And then let's go. Verse 17. What happens? He's about to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Verse 17. Now I'll read it. Verse 16. Go back. 15. Is it 15? It's 15. Go to 15. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven. And said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only, somebody say your only son. Blessings I will bless you. And what's that word next to it?
Multiplying.
Adding. No. Dividing. No. Multiplying. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of as the sand which is on the seashore. See, some of you guys, I need you to just start in picturing the stars and the sands and think about multiplication. How much multiplication does it take for you to do the sand of that goes for miles? And this is the expansion that Abraham experienced because he gave the one thing that he loved the most. Some of you still aren't catching it, but you will when you start to see the stars tonight. The descendants as the stars in heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, your descendants shall possess. I'm going to expand your legacy, Jesus says. Your legacy might want to be attacked by the enemy, but the Lord said, I'm going to expand it. And when you do it, you're going to possess the gates of the enemies. Now, I'm going to finish with this because this one, I got empowered by this one. You know what it means, the gates of the enemy? Let's say that the strip club down the street is the enemy. Ah, the Lord said that door will be yours, that you will be the one that's over that door. So if you say strip club, you have to move. They have to move because you own the property. You understand? You own the gate. The doors is yours. See, it was responding to the Israelites when they said that they had a promise to get into Canaan. And so what they do, God showed the promise of the Israelites, they walked around Jericho and Jericho was done. And then there was many times where they would go against enemies and they defeated them one by one by one. Why? They possessed the gates of their enemies. This is the legacy that God had promised. See, maybe you don't understand that expansion has nothing to do with you, but your legacy, but your children. So your obedience, your honor, your devotion might be for the legacy, for your children, for the people next to you. And on top of that, you're going to be able to tell the enemy, get thee behind me, Satan. You have the power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, can I speak into your life today? See, the God I serve, the Jesus I serve, he defeated the enemy. Say amen. He defeated the enemy of lust. Amen. He defeated the enemy of pride. Amen. He defeated the enemy of sickness. Amen. He defeated the enemy of confusion. Amen. He defeated the enemy of anything that any powers, principalities. Amen. So every enemy that's trying to come against you, you possess the gate in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, God has empowered you in the name of Jesus to walk not just as a conqueror, but more than conquerors. Huh? I said you're more than a conqueror. Yeah, because my Bible says he defeated every enemy. The Bible says in Colossians, he made a mockery of the enemies. But somehow we still think that the enemy goes toe-to-toe. No, we're not going toe-to-toe to anybody. You're expanding. You're not expanding because you're going toe-to-toe with the enemy. No, you're more than a conqueror. I said you're more than a conqueror. And see, I'm just telling you scripture. I'm not using energy or charisma. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You are more than conquerors. Because God said, if I'm before you, who can be against me? Hello. Hello, it's time for you to spend tomorrow. Not be confused about why tomorrow. No, tomorrow you're going to walk on faith in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow, maybe you've never healed somebody. I think it's time for you to start healing people. And you don't even need a certification to be a nurse to do that. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, you will follow the word of God. Amen. You will expand into uncharted territories. I believe in this house there's promotions in this room. I believe there's degrees that need to be given out in the name of Jesus. I believe there's marriages that are in this house. Amen. I believe there are children that need to come out. I believe there's healing that needs to come out. I believe there's events that need to happen from people in this house. From Living Word itself. There's some things that should have happened by now, but some of you guys haven't expanded because you just need to follow the word of God. Amen. Oh, we have to wrap up. Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Was given the ultimate task to give his life so that in him, hope could expand to the entire world. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was given the ultimate task so that in him, hope would expand through you. Through you. Yeah, come on. If Jesus gave his perfect life, what are you going to give up? Jesus gave a perfect life up so that the kingdom could expand. Think about that. Let's start there. Jesus had a perfect life and didn't deserve to die, but he gave up his life. He demonstrated expansion himself. Would you guys stand? We're going to pray and then I'm going to give it to Pastor. Jesus. Sabadidi katarabasha. Holy Spirit, you're in this room moving. Your word says you would guide us to all truth. You're teaching even now. You're not condemning nobody. You're not bringing shame or guilt. Maybe conviction and correction. But it's because you love us. You're doing it right now in the hearts of men. I want to pray two prayer points for us. And then we're moving. If you haven't raised a team, meet a team. I didn't give it to you earlier. I'm sorry. Matthew 6 and 21. this year, I want us to treasure the word like never before. I hope that if I come back by Vision Conference, at least a third of you will say, I've read the Bible in its entirety. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to ask you who hasn't read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelations, because that's irrelevant. This year, you are the ones that are saying you're going to give your all and your life to Jesus. And Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? Amen. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So this first prayer point, this is unto the Lord. Lord, help me to treasure your word like never before. Can you open your mouth, whether in spirit or just, can you begin to speak that to the Lord? And then I'll pray with us. Lord, whatever you need to take away, whatever you need to do, whatever systems, whatever desire, help me. Holy Spirit, help me that I can treasure your word like never before. That when things are great, I look to your word to rejoice always. That when things are bad, I look to your word because mourning and sadness and grieving may be for a season and time, but you are my strength and joy. Help me to put your word at my heart. Help me to hide your word. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me. Bring community around. Help me to find those to hold me accountable, that I might treasure your word so that I can expand for your honor and your glory. Not expand so that I can have more riches or more resources. No, expand for your honor, for your glory, because it's my desire to please you. Come on, somebody open up your mouth. If that's your true desire, that the Lord's word, that Jesus himself will be the head of your heart, the head of your life. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care where your faith level is right now. All of us has a chance to increase right now in the name of Jesus. All of us has a chance to mature. Father, help me to grow. Help me to grow. I never want to be content, oh Lord. I never want to be complacent, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, this last prayer. Repeat after me for this one, okay? Say, Holy Spirit. See, this is good because sometimes I don't know if we talk to the Holy Spirit directly, the one who dwells on the inside of us. So I want to help us to practice that now. Say, Holy Spirit, I yield my will to you. Teach me to walk in humility. For your name's sake. Can we say that again one more time? Holy Spirit, I yield my will to you. Teach me to walk in humility. For your name's sake. Come on, can we lift it up together one time? Come on. I rebuke the spirit of pride in my life. I rebuke the spirit of fear in my life. You've not given me these things. No, you've given me your son. You've given me humility. You've given me hope. You've given me the gifts. You've given me Jesus. You've given me Jesus. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I surrender my will to you. Not just today. Let this be a seed that your word waters. Let this be a seed that grows, that grows, that grows. Let this be a seed. Let this be a pledge. Let this be my anthem this year so that the expansion is not of my works, but by your spirit, oh God. Let the expansion that happens in my life, let the expansion that happens in this house, let the expansion that happens in the kingdom of God is not by my doing, but by your glory, oh God, but by your spirit, oh God. Let my will be your will, oh Jesus. Let my heart be your heart, oh God. Let my tongue be what you say, oh Jesus. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I need you. I know you're going to allow me to be in situations where all I depend on is you. Allow you to be my default. Teach me that the first thing I lean on and call upon is you. Is you. You alone, oh Lord. Thank you, oh Jesus. Thank you, oh Lord. Father, I thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice. Your word says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God, I take absolutely zero credit for your word going forth.
I thank you that you're changing minds and hearts right now in the name of Jesus. That you're healing hearts and minds. That you're baptizing hearts with the fire of the Holy Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you so much that we will begin to see a noticeable change in this house in the name of Jesus. A new level of reverence in your house in the name of Jesus. A higher and deeper level of fear for you in the name of Jesus. Let that be our anthem, that we dive into the fear and reverence of you in this house in the name of Jesus. To you be given all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, while you're still standing, I'll ask that the ushers go ahead and serve the communion. Go ahead and pass the communion. And I, as the communion is being served to everybody, I want you to hear this and understand this. Sometimes we can become professional Christians. I'm a pastor. We can become a professional. I don't need to study to preach to you. And that's dangerous. You hear me? I can preach to you for the next 4 hours. Because I have it in me. And that's how some people know how to become Christians. They know how to talk the talk, walk the walk, check the box. And it is words like this that come sometimes to wake you up. Don't be a professional. That is, you know how to speak. Do you need to learn how to speak English again right now? You've grown how to speak. It's just like speaking in tongues. Some of you, sometimes when they say pray, you just go kabahata. Sometimes it's laziness. You know that, right? You don't know how to pray in English. You just lazy. It's just lazy to just go in tongues. Kabahata, yeah, but your mind is not even there. Because, no, I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to help you here. I'm giving you little secret, little tips. Let's lift up your voice to heaven and pray. You become a professional tongue speaker, tongue talker. And sometimes it's this that helps us to wake us up. Okay? You know, we can become professional church attenders. So, you know, you came to church by 8:30, we close. So when you start going past time, you know why? Because you're a professional, you already know the time, you're a pro. You start disconnecting. We go from this, you know, praise and worship, then announcements, and this, and that. You are a professional Living Word member. You know the time. You know just what is next. You know the system. That's called control. So when everything kind of go out of sync, you're like, The same thing, you are professional, you know. Pastor Tim is a motivator. He knows how to talk good. Wait, kind of here comes a little hard. You're like, okay. May God help us. I'll talk to you about the bitter waters of Mara one day. When God gave them water, it was bitter in their mouth, but it was healing to their body. That you partake of the communion tonight. We're praying, believing God that we're not going to be professionals. Professionals. You know, there are people who are they go to work. They are professionals at their work. It doesn't mean they love the jobs. They're just doing it for retirement. They just put it into social security. Just doing it. You just need to do. Some people are doing it. You know, some of you do it for dollars. Just doing it so that at the end of the day, we have to pay that bill. So you're a professional. And you come to do, you can do your job very well. But you don't like it. That's not what I want. That's not the kind of Christian I want you to be. Some people are professional givers. They know how to calculate. There used to be a sister, they'll calculate $12.99 or 63. This, you're a professional tither. You cannot cheat God. God cannot cheat you. I'm saying all of this so that you can get your communion. So if you are done and you want me to shut off. But you know, the point is this. Don't become a professional believer. Don't become a professional. I tell that to myself as a pastor. Don't become a professional pastor. You just come. You know how to just preach. You know how to do this, do that. Get to walk the crowd. Know the things to do. We go to it.